Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, as the psalmist says, you are an awesome God. Loving God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and worship. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
So Mother's Day is often a day that MCC churches have a few less people because that's the day that folks go to church with their own moms. Mother's Day is also a time that can be a little challenging in a community where so many of us have been rejected by family. So many of us don't feel like we belong. And then we have families that we create for ourselves that in the eyes of society, in the eyes of the legal world, are not legitimate. So then Mother's Day comes along and it's this Hallmark holiday and there's candy and there's flowers and all of that. But what do? If we don't have this Hallmark image of mothers? Not everyone in this room has a good relationship with their mother. Not everyone in this room has a mother. And what makes it more challenging is that not every woman is called to be a mother. Any woman who's 30 or above who does not have children can tell you that they have been asked thousands of times, when are you going to have kids? Even women who are partnered with other women, and those women have kids, the one who has not given birth is asked, well, when are you going to have a baby? And so Mother's Day is complicated. Mother's Day is especially complicated for same-sex couples. So I say happy Mother's Day with the caveat that I understand that Mother's Day is complicated. And because we are MCC, I recommend that we reclaim Mother's Day. If you love Mother's Day, you've never had an issue with it, you don't know what I'm talking about, I invite you to just come on the journey. Stand in solidarity with those who woke up this morning and said, you know what, I don't feel like going to church because I know they're going to talk about Mother's Day. Stand in solidarity with those who are not here because they didn't feel like coming. I've had people tell me, I don't go to church on Mother's Day because it's too painful for me. So let's be in solidarity with them. If you are one of those who hate this day, I invite you to reclaim it. Reclaim those broken parts of yourself that are named Mom. Reclaim the void that your own mom left. Reclaim the void that was never filled. Reclaim Mother's Day. Because we have work to do. Because we have nurturing to give, and whether we learned it from our own moms or we learned it from other nurturers, we know how to give it. And that's what today can be about. It's not dependent on gender. It's not dependent on parental legal rights. It's about us knowing how to nurture. It's about us following the example of Mary, the unconditional, undying love that we can give to each other. Because it takes a village to raise a child, and it takes a community to raise a revolution. If you are a mother, stand up, please. If you are a parent of any kind, if you are a biological parent, a step parent, a foster parent, please stand up. A parent of any kind, come on. If you are a crazy gay uncle, if you are that awesome lesbian auntie, stand up.
Yes.
If you have mentored a younger person, stand up. You care for a young child in your life, whether you are their parent or not, if you have some kid in your life that you care about, please stand. Now look at this. Those who are able and are standing, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Please be seated. seated. Caring about the next generation is hard work. And that is what we do. That is what all of those who stood up have done. We are raising up the future and taking that on is a huge responsibility. And that is why I want to celebrate Mother's Day. Not just because it's on the calendar and it's another excuse to eat chocolate, which it is, but because we have a revolution in our hands and we have this amazing opportunity to make the lives better by making the lives of young people better. You'll see in the narthex, in the lobby here, you have an opportunity to learn more about becoming a foster parent. During our yard sale the last 2 days, we had an agency that, through the Methodist Church, that is looking for foster families of all types, and pick up some information. You can fill out a card and drop it in the box and they'll contact you. There are lots of ways that we can make this world better. And what better way to celebrate Mother's Day than with this text we heard today from Luke that commissions us to spread God's love and grace in the world. The psalmist that we heard from says to sing praises to God, talks about the beauty and the awesomeness and the incredible gift that is God. Celebrate, sing praise, and then that's juxtaposed with this text from Luke, what's known as the Ascension text, where Jesus, you know, you have to suspend your belief or disbelief for a moment, because it talks about Jesus lifting up into the sky, and I'm sure that anyone who's taken an art class, an art history class, has probably seen images from the Middle Ages where you see Jesus ascending and you can see the holes in his feet. And maybe that's not what Luke was actually picturing. We get lost in those kinds of details. Well, where did he go? He just lifted up into the sky? But what Luke, the entire gospel of Luke, challenges us to do is re-understand, reimagine concepts of sin, salvation, repentance, and forgiveness. And as Jesus is getting ready to ascend, he says to rethink these ideas. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, we hear again and again and again, justice for the poor, justice for the poor, justice for the outcast. And at the very end, what does Jesus say? But take what you have learned. It says he opens the minds of his disciples. And then he tells them to take what they have learned and spread it throughout the world. This entire gospel is building up to this moment. Jesus begs us to make a promise. A promise to love each other the way that he has loved us and to protect those who most need us. Again, as we reclaim Mother's Day, we reclaim this calling. We recommit ourselves to this promise to protect those who most need us. Jesus gives the disciples this empowerment and understanding. Allows them to understand in a new way what is the promise. So then I wonder, how do we in this room keep that promise? I think we've got a good start. I think the kids who came up this morning for the kids' message were spot on. Hannah's basically on the payroll at this point. She's like, feeds me my sermon material every week, basically. But now Hannah gets up here and without any prompting says, these are my sisters. You know, and she's got a baby here and she's got her foster brother with her. And this is what family looks like. This is what family looks like to Hannah because we taught her that. Her mom's taught her that. But we as a community taught her that. This is the promise that we made to Christ. You didn't know you made it? Maybe. But by participating in the community of Christ, this is what we do. We love each other fiercely. We nurture each other in ways that allow us to flourish. A few hours ago, Uganda had its first MCC service. Big clap for that. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the history, and because this service happened because of a Facebook conversation. And I feel awkward to bring it up because it was a Facebook conversation that I had with the person who started the church. He's been asking, we've been talking for, this is someone I met on Facebook a couple of years ago. He's a gay rights activist. He runs an orphanage and a school. And I provide him some spiritual support online. And about a month ago, he just was talking about this community. And I said, this sounds like an MCC church. Why don't you just become an MCC church? And I got him connected to the emerging church office. And they got the go-ahead to start this, plant the seed. And I'm telling you this story not because I'm like, look at me, I'm so awesome. I mean, you can think that. But because it was that simple. It was the taking the moment to say, you know, I didn't do it the first day I met him, because, you know, you don't know. This is someone I didn't know until I got to know him over time and realized exactly what he is doing. This person who puts all of his life energy into this orphanage and this school, it just sounds like it's an MCC church. And he has all of these people, some are gay, some aren't, who come together and have worship together, and it's what we're doing. So Junior Jose is his name, and Junior messaged me this morning as I was on my way to church and said, church was a huge success. We had a great turnout. We're going to do it every week. And there's MCC in Uganda. So we are keeping the promise that we made to Christ. We as MCC. And of course, you know I want to talk about Cuba. So also a couple months ago, I got an email from Hector Gutierrez, who's one of our elders, that said, you know, you all, you're in Tampa, you're so close to Cuba, we have some churches that are starting there, and would your church like to have a partnership with them? Now, of course, you know, here I am in my first year of ministry, and let me tell you what your first year of senior pastor ministry is like, in case any of you are thinking about doing it one day. Yeah. It's kind of a combination of absolute terror on a daily basis and with these like slight moments of like, oh, this is working. So that's how it goes. You can ask my partner how often I'm awake at 3 a.m. It's not going to work. So, you know, my first thought is, well, how much is this going to cost us? Can we do this? Will people care? Will they want to be? To which Hector said, calm down. We got on Skype. We had a conversation. He said, you're already tithing to the denomination. You can give a portion of what you are already paying to the denomination directly to that church. It won't cost you any more than you already give. There's nothing to lose, but I promise you, this is how Hector phrased it, I promise you, you will save lives in Cuba. So, we're doing it, and I am very proud to announce that we are officially partnering with the MCC Church in Santa Clara, Cuba, and this is our, not our child, we are not its parents, we are its sibling and its partner. Yes. So Hector said, also there's this conference at a theological seminary, I'd like you to go and speak at this conference and attend worship on Sunday, and it'll be great. 2 months ago, I was like, that sounds great. As it got closer and closer, that, you know, daily terror of being a senior pastor turned into the daily terror of I'm going to go to Cuba and I don't have the right visa and am I going to get arrested? So we did a lot of research because there wasn't time. It takes many months to get a religious visa, and discovered that you can fly to another country, and now it used to be illegal. This used to be the illegal way to visit Cuba. You legally now can fly to another country, buy a visa there, and you have to have documentation that every single day of your trip is not a vacation. You have to work every day you're there. I got all my documentation. I flew to Panama, which, by the way, is 1,500 miles south of Cuba. Without speaking any Spanish at all, got myself a visa and made it through and got to Cuba 17 hours later. So I was expecting something based on the images of Cuba that I've heard filtered through, you know, U.S. popular culture. What I found was the most welcoming group of people, and I've done a lot of human rights work throughout the world, primarily in Eastern Europe, and I know what it's like to be the American in countries where that America has not treated so well. It's very hard to, for instance, to do human rights work in Serbia, knowing that it was only at that time, about a decade after we had bombed Belgrade. So Cuba, it's like stepping back into the 1950s in some ways, and a lot of that is I'm not going to get into the political stuff of it, but a lot of it is about the embargo and the sanctions that the U.S. puts on. So I thought, I'm going to a country where people are maybe not going to like me so much, and I was completely wrong. I arrived at the seminary to just the most welcoming experience I've ever had in another country. In a place where, unlike many countries I've traveled to, they learn English in school. In Cuba, they do not. I was lucky to have a translator with me, and one of my first jobs here as a partner church with a church in Cuba is going to be learning Spanish. So we had a little bit of awkward me trying to understand what people were saying to me this morning. Here's my Spanish class, my Spanish instructors. So, but my point is that they extended this extravagant welcome to a foreigner, to a person who does not speak their language, and made sure that I was safe and comfortable. And even though they said, this water is fine to drink, I said, can you please get me lots of bottles of water? And just the understanding that I got in that place was amazing, and such an example of how to live into Christ's love and Christ's welcome. Being embraced in that way made me feel the presence of Christ. So the conference was 3 days long, and it's at the Evangelical Seminary, which is not evangelical in the understanding that we have, but that's sort of the English translation of what is understood as Protestant. And it's a seminary that is welcoming to LGBT people. And this totally unexpected to me. And so I get there, and they said, "Oh, and you know, our special guest speaker today is going to be Mariela Castro." I said, "I know this name. Why do I know this name? This is Castro's daughter, President Raúl Castro. His daughter was the keynote speaker at this conference, and she shows up and is as gracious and loving as can be, down to earth, and carries her own water bottle, by the way. So I was in good company." But as for safety precautions, she doesn't let anyone else supply her with water. But other than that, there were no security forces keeping us apart. Could you imagine Obama's kids just like showing up to be like, we like gay people? It doesn't happen that the president's daughter comes to events like this. And she gave a talk that was all about human dignity. She admitted that she was a little bit more comfortable with the LGBT factor than the religious factor, but was totally welcoming to the fact that she was talking to a group of seminary students and religious people. To go in expecting that I was going to be in some kind of danger and then have the head of state's daughter embracing us was so powerful. And it shows that this community is so ready for us. Not MCC like we do it, not MCC like anyone else does it, but their own unique MCC. So, MCC legally doesn't exist yet in Cuba, but it will. We're waiting on the permission from the government, and it's not so much a fight as a wait. It helps us that we are very liberal. And as I sat with the people who are forming the two MCC churches, really it's one MCC church and two branches, they envisioned with us what they want. They said, we want a spiritual center where all are welcome. They want to have Sunday services that are specifically Christian services, but all week long they want Buddhist meditation, they want to have yoga classes, they want classes on Judaism, they want a center that is open every single day, and anyone, regardless of what they believe, or whether they believe anything, regardless of who they love, regardless of their gender identity, will feel at home. I felt like I was at MCC Tampa. How many times have we had that same conversation, that we are a uniquely Christian church, we are Christian, that is our identity, and that's what we do on Sundays, but throughout the week, we live that call to Christianity in a radical way, radically, where we can have meditation and prayer in all different ways, world religion classes, all kinds of activities. So I was just sitting there in awe saying, this is what I want. So then we start planning our Sunday service, and it was myself, Hector Gutierrez, and Carmen Llanos, who is the associate pastor at MCC Toronto. She's from Spain and runs their Spanish-speaking ministry in Toronto. And so the three of us were sitting there, and we were having a conversation of like, well, how do you do baptism in your church if they wanted to get baptized? They wanted to start the church, you have to have members. To have members, you have to have people who are baptized. So we're going to start with baptism. So I said, well, you know, we'll do the baptisms, but first we'll say how we ask you the questions and we get ready to baptize. And we'll have everyone who's already baptized stand up. And then they looked at me like I was crazy. Because, of course, in a country where church was suppressed for so long, more than a generation, two generations of life in Cuba, there haven't been baptisms. No one was baptized. So here is how we do mission ethically, because I felt very awkward as a white English-speaking person. At first I thought, maybe I won't do the baptisms, and they said, that's crazy. You are one of the reverends we brought here to do this. And I struggled a lot with what language to do it in, and finally we decided that I would do it in English, because that's the language of my heart, that's the language that I know, and I didn't want to just recite words I'd memorized without the meaning attached. And that goes against everything I've learned about how not to do mission, but instead of judging myself, they encouraged me to just do it with your heart, and it's going to be fine. I can't even tell you how profound it was to do these baptisms, and how incredibly awkward it was, because they had a baptismal font, the kind that you get into. Some of you probably saw the video posted on Facebook. We'll post it on the MCC Tampa page later today. So we got into the water, and I love that kind of baptism. But we had some people who wanted to, you know, the sprinkle kind. Hector and Carmen did those, and I said, I'll go ahead and get in the water. Because what I love about it is that you are embraced by the water. If you've ever been to our beach blanket baptism, even if you've already been baptized, come out and you can get reaffirmed in your baptism. Something about being in the water, it cleanses you. But that water is cold. It cleanses you with ice. So we get into the water. And the other thing I love about that kind of baptism is that there's a particular way that you hold the person being baptized. When we do other kinds of baptism, it's a baby and the baby's being held. You don't get held. So to hold people, dip them into the water, bring them up, and promise them a new life in Christ in a country where that language of a new life in Christ is so new. It's not, okay, we're going to do this ritual that they've seen 100 times done for other people. This was new. So we had baptisms, and then immediately after, a rite of membership and a board meeting, and it was so exciting to be at the very beginning of this place. You might have noticed, maybe you didn't, that we no longer have our rainbow flag hanging in the sanctuary. That's because I took it. you could ask Alan. Whenever I travel to like a place where people don't have a lot, I tend to come back with an empty suitcase. So I took it with me and I left it there intentionally. Because I brought two things. I brought a chalice and paten that Ross picked out. Ross, it was also Ross's idea to do the flag. And so each of these two communities that we, spiritually we're supporting both, financially we're supporting one, but each of these two communities have a piece of us. So today the church in Santa Clara will be having communion with our chalice. When I gave it to them, I said, when you have communion with this chalice, you are having communion with our church community in Tampa. When I gave the flag to the church in Matanzas, I told them the same. Hang this wherever you worship. They don't have a set worship space yet. They move from place to place. Hang this wherever you worship, and you are worshiping with us in sanctuary with us. This is how we do mission. We go and we leave pieces of ourselves. We bring pieces back with us. We share in partnership. We didn't go in and say, here's how you're going to run your church. We help them. We help them come up with their bylaws and that kind of thing. But we didn't say, here we are, we're your saviors. You've been stuck with no church for so long and we're going to fix it for you. We walked in and said, tell us how you want to do church and how we can help you get there. And that is what we, MCC Tampa, are going to do over the next years. We have a promise to God, we have a promise to Christ, we have a promise to the churches in Cuba that we will do God's work as siblings. We will honor them, and we will love them. As Jesus has asked us to love each other, we will love them. Thank you for journeying with me today to Cuba, and thank you, all of you who will be, you will be, coming with me next time. Amen.